Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Travis Turner Show here on 1340 WNBS, our show streaming live at 1340WNBS.com. We move high speed thanks to our friends at Time Warner Cable, and certainly glad to have all of our friends with us here on this Tuesday morning. Hope everyone had a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Glad to have you back with us here as we now go to work fully in September with football season underway. Of course, we've got so many things going on along with football for our high school kids here in Murray and Callaway County. We'll get you up to date with some of those results later in the show. But we are going to begin this morning with our great friend Lindy Suter, the Racer Insider, is back with us, and much to discuss with Lindy. In fact, we had some fans recently who were clamoring for his return back to the show. They wanted to hear the Racer Insider talk about some of these very exciting basketball commitments the program has received recently. You know the great tradition, the great pride within this program. There's a lot of excitement around the coming season, but the excitement for the future continues to build as these great prep players continue to have such high interest in Murray State. Of course, that's a great credit to the program and to the staff, and we'll get into some of the possibilities with these young men who have committed to the Racers. But did want to begin today as we visited with Lindy, talking about the loss in this community of Mr. Brad Barnett. There were so many wonderful tributes to Brad on social media over the last 24 to 36 hours. Of course, Brad had fought bravely against ALS for many years, but he had become someone so special, and I think he was for the Murray High Tiger family, and Lindy can relate to this. He had been a special person to them for a long, long time, as long as they had known him. But in recent years, his battles had inspired this entire community. He had become so close to the Murray High football family. I know the Murray State athletic community was really inspired and motivated by Brad as well. And I would encourage you to see some of the tweets and posts about Brad and the impact that he had. The Tiger football account, I know they did a great job of retweeting some of the things from some of their players and former players. I just jumps to mind some of the concepts and thoughts shared by C.J. Dickerson and DeJavonte Miles, Dylan Boone, Trey Hornbuckle, just really some wonderful stuff. And Lindy, I know, given what Brad meant to you, it's just so special to see that those young men realized the great impact that Brad was having.
Oh, yeah, that was very special to see. And, of course, you know, it's hard for me to talk about Brad because when I go back to, you know, Brad was – everybody has their best friends when they were kids growing up. And I'm talking about the real youth when you're 4 right. and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, 10, 11, 12, when you grow up together as kids. And we did because our families were best friends and we did so many things together and went to so many events. And, you know, those people are special. Even though you may go your own ways, there's always this special connection you have because we played every sport together. Yep. I can remember, even believe it or not, Travis, and I know this will blow your mind, in the 60s, me and him kicked a soccer ball around his house. I don't even know if soccer balls were around or where he got it. But he lived over on 14th Street, and of course we grew up big Racer fans, and Racer Arena was down the street, and we'd get our signs made up, and we'd take off running down 14th Street to get there to get our spot on the front row. So just, you know, all those special memories to me, you know, that we relived, the St. Louis Cardinal games. And, you know, I'm going to share this story because it means so much to me, and it tells me, it shows how much what Brad really was all about. I got a message a couple weeks ago from him to come and visit him. He had some things he wanted to give me. And so I was really battling with that visit, Travis, because I knew that it was not, you know, it was right. going to be tough. Probably one of the tougher visits I'll ever make in my life. But I went, and so thankful that I went. And I went, and there was a frame of Orlando Cepeda. There was a frame pennant of the 67 Cardinal World Series team. And then there was a popcorn, one of those things that you yell out of that had the Cardinals from that year. And that year, my dad took me and Brad probably to about 10 games that year. And Brad was always with us when we went to the Cardinal games. And he wanted me to have those three items. And it was, you know, a guy that couldn't communicate with you. And, but even when he's in his last weeks, which he knew, that's why I was there.
Yep.
He knew that he was thinking about me. He was thinking about other people. And that's what made him special. He always thought about other people. And, you know, and Brad fighting it for as long as he did, it doesn't surprise me one bit. Because if anybody know Brad, he's a gamer. He was a gamer. It didn't matter if we was out at Robertson Elementary playing blacktop basketball, which I think I showed you the little scorebook where we'd keep score. He was the one getting 40 points. He was the gamer. He was the one who was catching the passes on the state championship game because he was a gamer. So, you know, him being a battler and fighting this thing to the end, and his wonderful wife, Deanne, I mean, my goodness. If there's a better person in the United States than Deanne Barnett, I'd like to meet him. I really would. But it's quite a loss, but I am glad that along this way they took, you know, they did take the high road, and they promoted their cause, and, you know, and sometimes it maybe even looked glamorous because of, you know, they were always out trying to promote, trying to help, trying to impact people, trying to inspire people. But behind the scenes, I mean, my goodness, you know, what a battle. It's a battle that he fought for 7 years. Unbelievable battle, and he'll definitely be missed. And so thankful that Dr. Stout and Greg and them got together last year and got the statue done there. And yep. I thought it was rather neat that they opened it up yesterday and let people visit it. But yeah, he'll be missed. But right now, Travis, everything that boy has gone through, he's definitely in a better place now. He'll be looking down, and you know, he won't have to fight this battle that he's had to fight. But if anybody's ever out there and you got the least little thing bothering you, man, just go over at Ty Holland Stadium and visit that statue. I put everything in perspective for you really quick.
Very well said. And I know, Lindy, I know that's a very emotional thing, a very personal thing, but I appreciate you sharing that. Knew that, you know, in the next few weeks we wanted to visit with Lindy, and it just kind of hit me yesterday. I need to see if he's available this week to talk about Brad and so that we might honor him appropriately here on the show and to do that with one of his lifelong friends. I appreciate that very much.
Well, he wasn't able to communicate a lot that last day, but I do want to let everybody know we discussed about four items. I talked a lot, but one of the things that he did want to know that he communicated to me through Deanne was he wanted to know how the basketball team was going to be. So I gave him a complete rundown of every player, every recruit, everything I could think of, but that was one of the four things that that he wanted to know about.
Yeah, he loved the Racers and he loved this community. Of course, yeah. You guys again know his connection with Tiger football. He just really, you know, became part of the family for these young men the last few years, and so that's, as I mentioned, you know, seeing CJ and Trey and Dylan and those guys, because for them to have that kind of understanding, to see that at their age is huge.
Well, Brad went out front with it. Yeah. He didn't hide from it. He went out front with it. And that's what inspired so many people would not go out front with something like that, Travis. I don't know if I would. I don't know. I mean, you don't never know. But so that's what makes it even, you know, and to do it for 7 years, really, you know, that's just unbelievable.
Well, please keep the Barnett family in your thoughts and prayers and all those that appreciate and love Brad and impacted by him. A tough few days, but I know people glad for him to be released to a much better situation, obviously, and also to know, I mean, for Deanne and the family, to know what an impact he had and how much people appreciate him. What a wonderful thing and what a great legacy he left. So, again, Brad, thanks for all you did for folks here in Murray and Callaway County. Now to the Racers, Lindy, the excitement, it's just boiling over. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it kind of got a little fever going this last couple of weeks, and recruiting's always good for this. But I guess the thing that really shocks me about this all is that we haven't had homecoming yet. We haven't had the special visits. You know, usually you have visits going on up through football games, and we haven't even got to our first home football game, and we got three commitments. So that's something to be pretty excited about. Now, that means you also got to fight them off. Signing date, too. I mean, you know, they are commitments.
Well,
and, you know, you can get a little, because we had a commitment from another certain player that from Florida at one time that is here now, but, you know.
Well, I told Lindy this morning, it was kind of funny when I looked at the Sun this morning. Our friend Ed Marlowe had on the front page of sports above the fold talking about these three commitments, and Ed did finish at the end of his piece. He added a little note that said, commitments are not signings.
They're so not signings. So
you gotta close the deal on these guys. But Lindy, it's such an interesting and a fun thing for me to see, because the level of player and the level of program that recruits these guys, as you say, the people that you got to fight off, you got to battle. I mean, the Racers are in there with just about anybody.
Well, I think what makes a difference, of course, we got a really good hardworking staff, and the one thing that we've always said about our staff here is that they know how to find guys and identify them early, and they develop the relationship first, and that has really helped us. But it has also helped us a lot that we've got two players in the NBA right now too. And don't think that don't help.
Yep.
Plus, we got other guys playing professional basketball doing well, too. So it's not just the NBA. So, all that happened back in the 2010 and all that was going on now, which was 6 years ago when we first made our real splash with, beating Vanderbilt and all that kind of stuff. So I guess it's 5 or 6 years. I don't know. I'm not keeping up. But you got to remember, these kids was 11 and 12 then, when all that was happening. And, so that also plays an effect. Plus, we all know how strong we've been in the state of Alabama, and that helps. But, the staff doing an excellent job, especially in these cases where we identified Tevin early. I think Coach Kane might have found Jai Morant in a gym where nobody was watching, one of the AAU tournaments. And, the kid had a great junior high school year but had not played on a high-level AAU team to get the publicity. People do not realize how important, how that can play in this deal. And then all of a sudden he's beating the high-level AAU teams. And so he kind of explodes onto the scene, gets an offer from South Carolina, gets Mark Fox from Georgia heavily involved. And then it takes off. But, he was our number one priority. That's what's good, because usually when you see these early visits, not all the time, but most of the time, they're in a order of priority. Not all the time, because there is some kids that's got scheduling problems. But what I feel good about so far is that I know that we're landing on our targets. I know definitely Tevin Brown and Morant both were targets from the very get-go. Tevin is a great shooter, 40% plus three-point shooter that can score. And you know me, how big I am about scoring guards. Well, we got two good scoring guards. Shaq the Buchanan, don't know a lot about him. I know he's one of those Mississippi kids that was 11 and 12 and 13 years old, 14 years old when Isaiah was playing. So I think he really liked the Racers from the get-go. And, he's a junior college guard that put up good numbers last year at Northeast. They made it to the tournament. Again, he put up about 15 points a game, I think. I think he played well during the summer and is supposedly one of the most athletic guards in the country in the JUCO ranks.
Yeah, seems to be a guy that is at his best attacking. Hasn't shot it real well from deep yet, but really a good athlete, and I think listed at around 6'3".
Yeah, so a good defender, I think, which is always important. And, next year we're going to lose Croker, we're going to lose Bryce, and, of course, we've already lost Seymour, and we're going to lose G. Even though G's probably more of an inside guy, that still could be considered four perimeter players. So we have a lot of young guys taking over those positions, so maybe bringing a JUCO kid in. I don't know how that affects, we got four spots right now, and now we've already got three commitments. So, you would think the next spot would probably be a big. Mm-hmm. You got Pope out there that's been committed to us all this time. So, I'm thinking he might be that guy. The Javen Johnson kid from Alabama, still a swing guy, but still has us on the list. I don't know how that affects that with him. But, just really excited about the future because, Jalen Dupree, the freshman that's out there right now, is really playing well. I would project him as a starter right now. I think, like I've told you on the show a couple weeks ago, I think he's probably one of the best big young men we've had since Popeye. I mean, I think he could be that good. He's a different type player than Popeye.
Right.
So he's not a Popeye player, but he's more of an Ivan Aska type player, except probably a little more athletic, a little bit stronger. And so you got him to go along with these young guards that will be coming in next year. And I really don't think that these two guards, Brown and Morant, are hype either, Travis. I think these dudes are for real. I mean, I think we've got two SEC recruits right here.
Whoa.
Well, you know, so we've got one for sure for South Carolina, and I think Tevin could have been one too, because anybody that shoots it at a 40% clip and score 25, 26 points a game and is one of Alabama's top 10 players.
And at his length, I mean, he's about 6'5", right?
Yeah, and they say he's got a motor, plays really hard too. So I really like reading what the guys that have really watched them play, because all I've watched is YouTube highlights, and they're fun to watch. But, you know, the guys that have really watched them play, I noticed that someone came out with their top 250 yesterday. He made the top 250, and when you look at where those other guys are going to school, then you feel really good about it. So, yeah, a lot of excitement about recruiting, but especially when you hit commitments, you hit two in one day, and then you hit the other one. And, you know, now it's just hold on until November.
That is, I think, one of the most intriguing parts of the modern college recruiting process is everything anymore is so public. And of course, that does drive the excitement. I mean,
Yeah.
But then, as you say,
when it hits social media, it's funny. Everybody sits around now and they watch Twitter. Because I promise you, where it happens first.
Yep.
In fact, that's where these kids are announcing it.
Yes, indeed. They own their own platform.
Yeah, they got their own platform. And then, you know, and then it's, and then once it starts happening, then all the recruiting services start doing their stories. And if you saw, there was a ton of stories that came out. I mean, so.
Well, I read everything
that kinda,
you retweeted.
Yeah, that kind of helped the excitement, because these guys had done well and had a lot of stuff already written about them.
You talked about the staff and the work, Lindy, and I think probably we just can't really conceive of it. I think we'd have to be with them. You know, they'd have to pack us in the suitcase and take us on the road to understand. But the effort here, and I tell you something else, and of course the work is the thing I admire most. But I love, as you said, the acumen and the ability to identify these talented players. Early, they're not waiting to read somebody's report. They're, you know, they are in early. They're in first, and that's just, I mean, that's a special quality, I think, that you have to have when you're recruiting.
Well, you've got to recognize talent for first of all. You got to be able to say that kid you can project. You got to be able to project. You know, lots of times we have luck with kids that might not have a lot of weight on them. And the only thing that might be keeping them out of the SEC is because they're not already 235, you know. But you bring them in here, and we got one of the best guys there is in the country that can do that, and you can show proof to the kid and the mother, look, we're going to get him there. We're going to get him there. But you know, there is a special talent to it. I mean, not everybody can do it, Travis. I mean, you know, you've got these assistants. You've got your head coach that has this network of people. You've got to have always treated that network of people good, too, so they have a lot of respect for you. And, you know, the way it works, you go out, you work your network, you watch kids play, you hear about kids, and then you evaluate, and then you decide who you're going to go after and recruit. And it's not easy. I mean, you got to really be good at it, and we're fortunate right now that we've got some good people doing that and have had some good people doing that. And we got a lot to sell here. I mean, what else would a kid want except maybe, you know, maybe an SEC training table? I don't know what the difference is, but, you know, you come to this place, it's a basketball place, it's a nice town, it's a very supportive of its teams, you know, and the practice facilities help tons too.
This may be way early, especially given that these guys are just commitments at this point. But let's say that Morant and Brown are racers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that happens. With what is on campus now and due to return, and understanding that maybe everybody doesn't pan out, maybe everybody doesn't stay, but is there a possibility that next year there's as much physical talent in the racer locker room as ever been?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. With what will be coming back, because you're going to be looking at a year older Jalen Dupree, a year older. Did you see where George Fant made the NFL?
Made the Seahawks roster.
So if Breon ain't playing professional basketball, I promise you he'll be playing football and he'll be kicking his butt. But But anyway, but yeah, it would be really, because Terrell Miller's really good too, and you know, Stark coming back for his senior year. Knock on wood. I mean, you know, you hope, because he'll be one of those fifth-year guys that everybody will probably be trying to chase down, because he's that good. He's that good. Just, you know, I finally had to, couldn't hold back. You noticed that.
I saw.
I had my radar alert out there this week, and y'all talking about all these guys. They ain't none of them as good as this dude, you know. And if you want to check my credibility, just call Travis Turner.
That's right. We got it. We got it right here. He hits it. When NBA guys are around, he's got them. You know, and that's, Lenny, that's, I think, one of the amazing things, too, and obviously something that we're incredibly proud of here and very fortunate to be able to watch, but that Jonathan could be one of the best guards in the country is reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean.
It is reality. It is reality, because usually if you're probably the best guard in the state of Tennessee, the state of Kentucky, state of Alabama, state of Georgia, you're probably pretty good.
Yeah.
I ain't trading him for – I don't know. I haven't seen Kentucky's point guard. Who's going to be their point guard this year?
De'Aaron Fox.
That's why he's a freshman, so he's probably really, really good. Yeah. So it's unfair for me to say that. But I would not be afraid of a mature three-year Jonathan Stark that's scored 30 against Memphis. And you know,
how often in the last several years have we said that either Isaiah or Cam would have been quite an aid to the Kentucky backcourt?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, when you got a guy that's that good, then that really helps things a lot. And I hope I'm not putting too much on him, but I got a lot of confidence in him.
Well, a guy that can play is a guy that can play.
And a guy that you're not just hyping based on something. He's done it. He's proved that he can do it. He's done it in real action.
And, you know, when I hear you talk about Stark, first of all, I sense a guy who wants to be the guy, who wants to lead his team.
Oh, he'll be a good leader. You know, Bryce Jones has been really playing well, too, and that extra strength's really helped him. And according to Matt, he's been a real leader, been providing a lot of leadership. But I like the fact that we got two guys that can play the point in the backcourt. And that's going to help us out.
You're going to have the ball in the hands of somebody special, regardless of the situation.
That's correct.
And exactly. Bryce, having already gone through this a year ago, and as you say, Stark has done this at this level in his
career. It'll just be interesting to see which one of those three guards steps up off the bench. That's going to be kind of the thing to watch. Is it going to be Ja'Kai? Is it going to be DeAndre? Is it going to be Grace?
Well, I love the fact that Coach McMahon is not going to be forced to play anybody.
No.
If you play, you are likely going to have earned the right to do so.
Yep. So, but, you know, a lot of excitement, and maybe we can get back to football this weekend. I know these teams got to play these guaranteed games, Travis, and I understand the excitement of going and playing in the big arena and getting the big check, but, boy, I just wished it was just start the season off with Missouri State and play SIU, and you could do that budget-wise and not have to play these money games, because it's just not fair. They got numbers on you. There's not anything. I mean, like you said, you do get a paycheck, and the kids get excited about going up there, but, boy, it's a game. And you're not, you know you're probably not going to win, so you're not going to run any of your stuff, because you don't want Missouri State seeing what you're running against Illinois, so you keep everything pretty basic, I would think. So you're not really going up there in the mindset.
Probably, you're going to get your reps in and hopefully come back
in
one
practice
piece.
Game, and maybe that's what they need to call them, is practice games. Maybe kind of like in basketball when we play.
Yeah, it's an exhibition.
Exhibition game, you know. Maybe it needs to be an exhibition game, because it's just – I haven't liked it since they started it back in the time. I mean, you know. It's just something, but I guess you got to have them. But in basketball, you can go out and get some money games, and, you know, they've got 12, 11 guys, 13 on scholarship, couple setting out. Football, they got 100, and we got 50. And
as you well know, Lindy, if you go in basketball and somebody hangs a 30-pointer on you, they're also not going to physically beat you down.
Or take that. So it's a tough call. You got to have it, and I know there's some excitement about it, but I just kind of like to go back to the old days, years and years and years ago, when you just opened up with SIU or somebody like that and got it going. And
well, I know from a Racer fan and a Racer Insider perspective, you want Murray State football fans to still be excited about this club. Don't let the decision and the result up there dampen your expectations or excitement.
Right, and that's, you know, and that has a tendency to happen with those games just a little bit. You know, and that's another thing I don't like about it. But, you know, try to just put it behind. I'm sure that's what Mitch has told his team, and that's what the fans need to look at it as, because really it gets started at your own level this weekend. And I do like the fact that we're going to and we're playing at our own level next weekend, and we're not going and playing Kentucky Westland or somebody like that, because then we'd be 2 weeks into the season and still not really playing, you know. So that's it's going to be a fun night Saturday night, so we'll see what happens
there. Yeah, I think you've got a club that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to get them, and like I said, that's just that's not a good gauge. And
but you'll have, I mean, these games against Missouri State and SIU will
be great barometers for where the club is.
And, of course, we've talked a lot lately about what the OVC has become as a very strong football league in the FCS. And for those of you that need a reason to watch locally, guys like Dylan Boone and Jonathan Jackson, products here of Western Kentucky. Both those guys were very active on Saturday and will continue to be.
So, yeah, there's that aspect too. And so no reason not to – don't let that one dampen you. Just the season really starts this weekend, really.
And I think KD and the offense will get things figured out over time. Of course, he's one of the best quarterbacks in FCS, and we hope that they'll get that going. And defensively, I know there was a lot of excitement during camp from these guys. And it's a good value on your ticket. In terms of the family entertainment dollar, and you might run into the Racer Insider out there.
Yeah, you will. I will definitely be there Saturday night. And before I go off here, and I got to talk about my boys, my eighth graders,
who are doing unbelievable things.
Of course, you know I don't coach them now, But Mark Bogus and Randy Taylor and the staff out there are doing an outstanding job with them. Mark's doing a really good job with these kids, and. You know, when we coached them, when me and Donnie coached them with sixth graders, I was sitting here telling you that's a special group if they can keep them together. And so far, they've not disappointed. I think they've beaten Mayfield 20-6. They've beaten Trigg 28-0 and Graves 30-0. So if you can catch them, allowed one score. Yeah, if you can catch them, it'd be worth it if you can catch them out here. I know their season doesn't last that long, but
well, these are guys, you know, Lindy and I were talking about it off the air earlier. These are young men that may be thrust into duty at a pretty early point in their career and at the high school level.
That's right. And, you know, I haven't been on the radio since the Callaway-Murray game. Congratulations to the Lakers for winning that game. Everybody knows I played for the Tigers, but I got family that graduated from Callaway, and they've been playing football back in the 70s. Who knows? I was a tuition student. But anyway, congratulations to them. I know that's good. Coach Garrison and the crew, you know, well-deserved.
Well, and I tell you, when you hear Lindy talk about those kids at the eighth grade level that he's been around since they were in sixth grade, you know, that stuff like that does stick with you.
Yeah, and that's how come I'm so involved with this group, is because I was with them for about 2 or 3 months, and I was with them on the practice field, and I was taking them home, and you know,
you and I talked about the guys that Lakin grew up with.
Yeah, they were
people that you know and that you have that different level of investment
in. Hats off to Trey. Freshman running second string in the ACC is a true freshman. It's hard to find true freshmen playing anywhere in the ACC.
And Duke is for real. Coach Cutcliffe has done a fantastic job there.
I know. That's very impressive.
Man, might get a pretty good education over there, too.
Yeah, I think somebody should have probably not in the state. Up there in Lexington might have paid a little attention to this dude.
You think he could have slowed Southern Miss down a little bit?
I don't know. But it just goes to show you how you can go down here sometimes in Western Kentucky and be a little bit under the radar.
Well, I'll tell you what, they need to stop that, because when you take a look at Western Kentucky high school football now, you don't have to look around far the first weekend in December to see, over the years, you've seen several Western Kentucky clubs up there.
Several of them playing. So.
And that's right. Josh Forrest, of course, made the Rams roster, and congratulations to Walter Powell.
Yes. How could we leave that out? And I think that might have missed the Racer Insider because of the deadline.
The Bills roster.
But that's really neat, too. And that's a guy that stuck with it.
I have to say about Walter, when he was here, he was umpiring in the summer in the youth baseball league, And I got to know him a little bit through that, coaching my son, and just a real personable kid. And we used to joke around a lot, and I said, now someday, I said, I don't forget me when you're in the NFL. And he would laugh, you know, and of course, dreaming that dream, obviously. But that's, I mean, to have that happen, to make that come to fruition, that's quite a thing.
Yeah, it is. Now, so we've got him playing in the NFL this year, and then we got two in the NBA, so that's good. Keeps that just a little bit more entertaining.
It's been pretty good to be a racer. By the way, I don't want to give anything away till you're ready, but I'm just telling people they need to be excited about the Racer Insider's web presence in the future.
Yeah, we're going to try to make some changes to it. I know where all this stuff's headed, so I'm trying to get prepared for it. And hopefully, you know, we're putting some effort into it. I know Steve Parker's working very hard behind the scenes on it, and I think we're getting together tonight and meeting on it and figuring out what we can do with it. And, you know, there's going to be some advertising spots that are probably going to be open on this website too. I'm not, you know, I'm going to go out and beat doors and bug people about it, but I think it'd probably be a good place for a business to to pop an ad on.
Well,
so,
I mean, you know,
we don't even know what we're going to charge for them, but you know me, I hadn't raised the price on the ads on the Racer Insider, but $25 in 20 years, so it won't be very expensive.
Here's the deal with Lindy and the Racer Insider as a brand. There's nothing that affects what we do here in terms of listeners more than his appearances.
Oh, well, thank you, Travis.
No, I mean, it's the truth. I mean, nothing.
Appreciate that.
When I'm not always on Twitter. I'm on it a lot, but I'm not always on it. But I come home a few nights ago, and we've gotten our mentions.
Somebody's wanting us to.
Yeah, the Racer fans wanting the Racer Insider to be back to talk about these commitments and continue to churn that excitement level. So in terms of a platform where I know that people are going to be interested in what is going on, Racer fans are going to be following the Racer Insider, and as this website becomes more of a focus for you guys, I think it just ensures your prosperity as a platform going forward, because this matters to people.
Yeah,
it does.
Well, I appreciate the kind words that you've had to say there, Travis, and I hope that it does, because you know there's some good people that do a lot of hard work behind the scenes that help make it possible. And you know, it's been fun, and now that I think with the radio show, and then we got the print edition, if we can do better with our online.
By the way, did you ever find a belt for Rand?
Oh, did you like that? I ended up. I know. That shouldn't have bothered me. Lost my vote. No, I'm kidding.
He had one of them.
I mean, it's like, come on, man! It doesn't even match. Doesn't even match. It'd like if he'd had on some dang, you know, it was look like. But it's okay. I'm sure it got him a few votes. I don't know. Why else would you wear it? I mean, you know, I like Rand all right. But, you know, show up in Murray, Kentucky, I mean.
Did somebody just get the man a blue and gold belt for when he's down
here? I mean, he's from Bowling Green, too. I mean, hell, heck.
I think that's all right.
It's all right, heck, sorry. Yeah, I mean, I'd really been upset if if I'd been over there
wearing the red belt.
Well, yeah, that would have been worse. That would have really been bad. Man. I wouldn't have been able to handle that one at all. But at least.
But I tell you last thing, because I know you need to go in terms of driving attention to the website as you guys get that where you want it. Your Twitter account, because you know, for me in terms of following recruiting and finding out information, I mean. You know, of course, I've always followed you, but that's a must see what's Lindy got there. And I think you'd be shocked at how many of your Racer fans they're just waiting for the next thing.
Yeah, I think that's what's fun about Twitter, because you can get the information out there just pretty much immediately. I mean, it goes out there immediately, and, you know, and then, of course, you get the retweets and find stories that other people would like to read. And, you know, it's always interesting to read those stories from other people's perspective, too, not just the Murray media.
Well, doesn't that really give you, I mean, too, Lindy, doesn't that give you a good feeling when you see these people and you go, hey.
And I guarantee you Twitter helped Ed Marlowe write that article that he wrote today, because he was probably able to contact a lot of these guys through Twitter to get their quotes.
Well, your access is just
access
unbelievable
is
at this
so
point.
Good.
Yeah.
So I keep preaching it, and we have now for how many years, but if you really like sports, it's not that complicated, folks. it's really easy.
It's not as if you have to, and you don't have to.
And you don't have to tweet a thing. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to tweet a thing. In fact, it might be best that you don't.
A man can make sure he stays out of trouble that way.
Yeah, he can make sure because they're, you know, once they're tweeted, and there's somebody out there watching.
That's right. Even if you delete one, and even if you delete it,
they'll screenshot you and it'll show back up. But yeah, it's part of the fun. It's added a lot, I think. I mean, I know universities probably hate it because the recruiting is so hard. It's like, you know, you're not supposed to tweet a recruit and. Gosh, go to any of these big schools and find any kid to recruit, and you know, there's no way they monitor all that.
But
man,
you said, and you're so right, when these kids get an offer, they're going to tweet that they have.
Mm-hmm.
When they commit, they're going to tweet that they have. Yep. I mean, they cut down their list. They're going to tweet who's on it.
Two tweets on it, and it's going to be a pretty picture. I like it. It's kind of neat how they do all
the logos
that. Yeah,
and
it's really,
yeah,
really, really good.
Well, that stands out. And, of course, I know the staff has always had a thought. When we're recruiting guys, we want Conference USA type guys. We want Missouri Valley type guys. And you see Murray State on the list with those schools.
Yeah, making those lists is fun, too. I like keeping up with that and watching that. But really excited. I think we've landed some of our top recruits this time. These are guys that were identified. And usually you got about 5 to 10 guys at each position you're trying to recruit. And I really feel like that we've signed the top of our list this time, and that's a good thing.
Boy, and that's something, you know, Lindy talked about. Maybe the next look would be up front, but when you can get one of your very best, you know, one of your top two point guards, one of your top two shooting guards, one of your top two power forwards, boy, you're really beginning to clean up then.
Yeah, you really are. And, you know, when you look back, I think Terrell was our top junior college target last year. I think Jalen was our top high school target last year, so we were able to get those two guys. This year you go to the backcourt, and we were able to get those two guys. So usually when you're able to do that, you're really building something really special. And, I promise if those guys hang together, if Jalen, Tevin, and Morant hang together, I think they're going to do special things too. But there's a lot of special things ahead the next couple of years too, and that's what's good. When you get a couple of good young commitments like that, and we still got to get to the finish line with them, and you know you got Jalen and Ja'Kai is playing really good, you feel really good. That makes, there's a good calm feeling that comes over you to know that you got players for the future, and that's a good feeling to have.
I told you he moves the needle, the Racer Insider does, but he moves it more when he's excited. And Racer basketball is winning championships, so we'll get to work on that. Don't forget, Racer football is at home. Missouri State, the opener this weekend. Do go out and support those guys.
Yeah, I sure do. If anybody's got any suggestions on what they might like to see on our website that they don't see, you know, just you know, fire an email to us or something and let us know. Because we're always, because that's what it's all about. We want to give the fans what they want.
And one thing that we do intend to do, Lindy and I have been talking about this for a while, but he will always, and he and his staff will always have the digital files of his show visits.
Yes.
So
yeah,
that is something that we want to make sure that you can hear him there and the stuff that he does, and as they get more involved in that, you know, he and I, if he's got a special, you know, need to on something audio wise, we may cook up a little extra there.
Yes,
whenever
right,
the situation
exactly
calls for it.
Exactly.
But the interest will be there, I promise you.
Yeah.
They'll be with you whether you put it on paper or skyride it, or
well, we haven't done a whole lot of promoting with it over the last several years because it's one of those things where you'd like to have it the way you really want
right,
it.
Right, right. Well, I don't know that's what you're after
before
now.
You really do it, and I think maybe the timing is getting good to do it.
Well, what you're working on right now looks great.
Yeah, and Travis got to take a sneak peek at it, but it's very attractive, easy to navigate, and that's what people are looking for now is easy navigation and fresh stories. That's always a challenge is to have fresh stories. But hopefully having some of the radio links and maybe a column occasionally will, you know, for keep it updated on a daily basis. And a Twitter feed.
The Racer Insider Empire continues to grow. He likes the Emperor likes banners, so we got to get him some more championships, and the guys will go to work on that.
Okay, sounds good.
I'll let you get to work, my friend. Give him that signature sign-off.
Go Racers.